check your mic real quick, if you would. Good. Okay, we're ready.
Okay, we're ready to start the meeting of Planning Commission, April 22nd, 2013. David, would you please make the roll call?
Yes. Chairman Christensen.
Present.
Commissioner Demarest.
Here.
Commissioner Dirksen.
Here.
Commissioner Rodland.
Here.
Commissioner Sherwood.
Here.
Commissioner Tuttle.
Here.
Thank you, Dave. Okay, next agenda item is the minutes.
Comments? Citizen comments?
Oh, did I miss that?
Oh, you missed that.
Yeah. I missed the comments? I did. All right, thank you. Okay, this is a time when we have comments from the audience. We like to have the audience keep their comments limited to 5 minutes and pertain to matters that are not on tonight's agenda. Do we have anybody that wants to make comments? No?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right. Now I can move to, right?
Yeah.
Minutes with the rules.
I move we accept the April 22nd, 2013 minutes.
I'll second.
Okay. The motion was made by Commissioner Rodland to accept the minutes for 4/22/2013, seconded by Commissioner Demarest. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. We have before you the May 13th minutes, if you had a chance to review those. Commissioner Demarest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 2 of 3, the paragraph attributed to me near the top of the page, I think we could reword that a bit. I think the intent is fine, that it reflects what I said, but just where we go on to say, with an additional recommendation to staff to clarify the definition of effective and impervious surfaces, to clarify the meaning of the definition, we could probably clarify that statement. With that, I'd be willing to make a motion to approve the minutes as written, with the exception of the one comment regarding page 2, which I would be comfortable with staff directing subsequent to our approval.
Okay. Second?
I'll second it.
We have a motion by Commissioner Demarest to approve the May 13th minutes, seconded by Commissioner Dirksen. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. Workshop. Don't have a public hearing, so workshop tonight is the CPA 2013A comprehensive plan text amendments for land use. And Paul, you have the comment.
Okay, thank you. We're back to land use tonight. This is our second round on this. You may recall that our last meeting we actually started reviewing this at the end rather than the beginning, concentrating more on the goals and policies. And two quick things. We're going to prepare some information about defining goals, objectives, and policies. And we pulled some information together, but we didn't get that completely done for tonight. So we'll bring that information and have some discussion on in our next meeting. And the other is that in this element, you know, you may have noticed there are several sections that are highlighted in yellow, and those have not been updated. A lot of them are tabled, but there are other sections that we just simply did not get to consider editing those highlighted sections. But with that, we have gone through and taken another cut at some edits, both in terms of updating the information and at least beginning to try to reduce the volume of text in this. I guess in a way to remove text that seems to be just superfluous or repetitive, and certainly information that is out of date or irrelevant at this point. But I was just maybe just start with page two and start flipping through it and have some discussion.
Okay, I'd like to make a comment before we all jump into this thing. I'm assuming that spell check and all that will be run on this document to catch all the things like missing spaces and misspelled words and that type of thing. So
we have not done any real level of proofreading today.
Yeah, I saw a number of things and I noted them, but I'm not going to subject you to you missed a space here. So I would rather we keep to content rather than any kind of issues here. I'm going to open it to the commissioners if they have any comments. I have a couple on this document, page two especially. So it's page three, I'm sorry. Commissioners?
Starting with page two,
yeah. I didn't have anything on page two to comment on except for some grammatical issues.
Yeah.
Richard Demarest?
Second paragraph, the second sentence, it starts out, the inserted sentence, the land use element. We talked about trying to clean up the language, and I looked at that sentence, and I think it perhaps could be deserving of a little bit more attention as far as trying to be a little more succinct, perhaps, in what it's trying to say. To me, it really dragged on. And at the end of that paragraph, then, also, the word therefore it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether there was a thought there that got dropped or just a strike through that didn't get carried all the way through.
Yeah, I had to say it.
I'm sorry?
I had to say it.
I don't know whether anyone else shared the same concern over that first or second sentence in there that I mentioned.
Yeah. I agree.
Page two.
Anybody else?
I think there may be a good deal more of further editing in similar kinds of sections of places. Where can we start?
Again, on page three. I have a comment as to when I was going through college, which was colleges didn't have parking lots, they had a place where you tie up your horse. Back in those days, they said that every time you have an acronym, the first time you use it, it should be right after where it's defined. So I would like to keep with that, if possible, throughout the document. Most of it is that way. Most of it, because I look for things like that. But on the draft supplemental environment impact statement, the second paragraph, I would like to see it add the parentheses of DSEIS, because later on it refers to the DSEIS, and I had to go back in the document to try and find that. I knew what it meant, but not everybody's gonna understand it. And then the only other thing I read on page three was there was some comment last week on small town.
Yeah.
And it still showed up in the last paragraph on that page. I don't know if we still want to use that term to retain a small town.
I see. Yeah, actually, I agree with you. I do also try and practice the parentheses for acronyms, and actually, that small town, since we took it out before, should have been called here also.
Question on that. The small town context in this case is referring back to the alternative 2 that was identified in 2005. So are we referring to it here in a historical context, or are we referring to it in a present tense going forward? If it's historical, it's correct. That was what was identified back then. The intended preferred alternative 2, and perhaps you'd say was to retain the small town, rather than is to retain the small town. But again, it goes to context.
Right. If was used in there, then I agree.
Yeah. And as we will be doing in the 2015 update, there will be an EIS done again.
Yes, right? Correct.
And it will in turn come out with preferred alternatives that could very well be different than this or the same.
Because certainly.
Am I right in that this is more of a historical comment here?
In the context of this paragraph, it is a reference to what was done back in 2005. So I like the idea of it was, the intent of that alternative was
to retain.
To retain. As this is a beginning document for 2015,
right.
We're trying to clean up as much as we can to present references that are no longer appropriate. So I think was in that sense would work fine.
Yeah. Unless it's going to remain the preferred alternative in this 2013 update.
Well, no doubt there's going to be some changes.
Okay.
So I don't. And Monroe, in fact, really is not a having the character of a small town like it did 15, 20 years ago. Things have changed dramatically.
Well, perhaps it's a better resolution than what it says currently, so.
I agree. Anything else on page 3?
Well, I think if we do use that language, using the word was, then we have to make a logical progression from that to that was, this is.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that is yet to come.
A new thesis.
There are probably no doubts in place where there are some conflicting tenses, because sometimes it's not perfectly clear as to what should be reflected as history and what is still in present tense. Since we're not trying to rewrite, substantively rewrite this so much as updated to current day.
So for this 2013 update, there will not be a further update of the environmental review. There'll be a checklist, I imagine.
We'll do a checklist, but there won't be
an EIS for this.
There will not be an EIS.
So the 2005 conclusion then will still stand.
Yes.
Which takes us back to then.
And that
is
the intent. Well, I think we're splitting hairs.
Well, maybe it's just something worth watching as we go forward.
Yeah, we may come across this again. Whatever it is, it needs to be consistent. So I'm sure there are paragraphs that are describing present tense in terms of 2005 that we're not changing. So we don't want to have conflicting places where we're speaking of the past tense in that same way. So
So maybe it stays, needs to stay as is with some caveat to the effect that that determination is 8 years old.
It's a mixed bag of past and present.
Well, if we're trying to give direction, I mean, the whole purpose of this exercise is to help give some direction to the people who are going to write the new plan. And I think it has to be in the past.
Except we will be adopting this as the current plan for 2 years.
But it's an update of 2013, which brings it up to present day as much as possible. I think we'd use the past as opposed to present tense, generally speaking.
But I think what we're saying is if the purpose was to retain small town character, blah, 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 we need to then say what the current one's purpose is. Right? I mean, that's what I'm understanding.
We need to say whether we think that the preferred alternative perhaps today is different than it was back then.
Yeah.
But we're not doing any preferred alternative today. We're not making that kind of a substantive change or update.
It seems to me that we then make a statement as to what the historical record is. That back in 2005, the preferred alternative was this.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm. That gives a little better context.
It's more accurate, I think.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Any more on page 3? Page 4?
Page 4, I got a whole bunch of things that I'm probably going to be willing to speak against. And that is, the first paragraph there is bicycling. In this country, this part of the country, with rain we have all the time, that's not a good idea. But that's my opinion. Down in the next paragraph, residential streets, meandering roads. We have that already, and to locate anybody without a GPS or anything in this town with these meandering roads and cul-de-sacs and everything else, it is just I really like the way Phoenix laid their city out. It's, you can find any street you want by just going down it by numbers and it's all squared off and it's beautiful. But meandering roads and trying to find some place is terrible. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Well, there's one other thing in the next paragraph down. It says here, annexation would only occur when initiated by interested property owners or by election. I think that has changed now, that it's only the people that live in that area, property owners, that don't live in that area, you don't get a vote, do they?
That's right. In an election, the vote is limited to the people who actually live within the annexation area. It's not a general election.
But do we have to get that detailed at this point?
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah. I don't think it's an incorrect statement as it stands.
And I remember being surprised that you actually have to live on that, in that annexation area. You could be a tenant that is eligible to vote, but the property owner is not.
Right.
Because they may live in another city. Mm-hmm. The paragraph above, I think we need to put the meandering roads and loops in more of a historic context. And perhaps a comment about a move toward potentially higher density in at least some areas in the future. In so many words. I think what I would do is for the next meeting, I will do a clean version of things that we have accepted so far.
Okay.
And where there are other changes, I'll do those in a newer version of these strike-throughs and track changes so we can follow them more closely that way. Or any additional editing beyond this point.
I did have another question, Paul. What's the difference between the green and the blue?
No difference. I think the green popped up a couple of times when I did a cut and paste of existing taste.
All right. Yeah, so there's nothing special?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
I thought somebody might ask that question. I was waiting for it.
Nigel?
I look at this 2-7 unit thing, and as you go through the balance of this document, everything militates against a density probably under 4 units per acre. So I think we need to up the minimum simply because if the purpose is, as we know, the Bulletin of Lands report is telling us, we don't have enough residential land as it is, reasonably intense densities to accommodate the population that is supposed to be coming our way. So I think that the, you know, 2-3 units per acre is passé, and we need to move on from that. It's just a reality. Because, you know, we talk later in the document about, is it, you know, we do sort of a cost-benefit analysis, or at least entertain the possibility that there will be a cost-benefit analysis on an annexation. So we say, should we bring this in? Well, how much is it going to cost us to bring it in? And when we do bring it in, how much money is it going to net to the city? Therefore, does it make sense to do that annexation? Well, the reality is everything within the UGA is potentially annexable. I hope that's a word, right? That's the idea.
I think that's a fair state
UGA. Okay. And then we go on and we talk about, let me bring this up, the area is adjacent to the city, and I wonder if it isn't possible, if someone's willing to annex an area that isn't adjacent to the city limits, as long as they're willing to extend the utilities and, you know, do some sort of latecomer agreement, whatever the case may be. Everything I'm seeing here is going against the later policies of orderly, reasonably dense growth that has to take place if we're going to, you know, sort of, you know, do our part. And maybe some of this is remnant from the small town idea and some of the language, but if the statement of regional importance and sustained growth describing our city, it's changing, and if we're going to give direction to people who are going to do a plan for the next 20 years from 15 to 35, I think we need to move on and be a little more progressive, I hate to use that word, in, you know, looking forward and say, okay, it's not a small town anymore. We've got to own up and buck up and do whatever we need to do to move on from that, because that is indeed in the past. And I don't want to give direction to people who are looking forward. Direction tends to be looking backward. And as it is, we see, because of critical areas and everything, it's very difficult to even net 4 units per acre. And when we use 4 units per acre in the Bulletin of Lands report and the calculation of population accommodation, it doesn't add up. And if we want it to add, you know, if we don't want it to add up, then we just tell the county, well, we don't want that many people. But if that is our fate, then we need to step into it with both feet. And just throughout the whole document, so that it's consistent. That's what I think.
Annexation, I believe, needs to be within the UGA in order to be annexed. That's right. There is, I think, there's some amazing notes myself in the Forest Rider document that we need to make some reference to a higher density, generally, certainly a higher average density, and the two is an obsolete number in terms of the UGA.
And I've seen some non-adjacent annexations. I mean, I don't think they're real common, but that may come up, and we have to address that, and we have to say, okay, we're willing to extend support for a subdivision or an area that is not contiguous to the city limits.
I'm not sure if state law allows that. I don't know.
I believe it does. As long as you're in the UGA, I believe it does. But if we can...
Well, we should know that before we say it.
I believe there's a law that says that, just like I was saying before, the people that live in the area, even those in the growth area, if they vote against it, you don't get it. So even though the property owners own most of the property, if they don't live there, you're not going to get it. So, but even if it's in the urban growth area, which it should be automatic if it's in the growth area.
Yeah, and I think that what happened on Roosevelt Ridge, you know, that is probably statewide going to become much more common. Say, well, okay, it gets developed in the county and it's making utilities. I think we may see that more and more, especially because, in that particular case, it was because of the type of development that was permitted previously, the larger lots, more expensive homes, etc., that that's going to become incongruous, and then people are going to say, hey, we don't want that next door. And we're basically going to say, well, you have to have it next door. That's just a reality that we're faced in some of these situations.
Right, on your question about contiguous, that thought that comes to mind is that I'm not sure about state law, but if we did in fact annex, say, 100 acres that is now contiguous to existing city limits, that would be an island of sorts. We would have to traverse city to county to city to deliver services, which would be a problem.
We're already said, you know, the other day that we're willing to do that up here in Roosevelt Ridge. So.
Yeah. And of course, we can now extend sanitary sewer. We're already able to extend water past city limits, and Roosevelt Ridge is served by the Roosevelt Water District or Water Association. But that should provide a good basis for higher density in Roosevelt Ridge. Not just 12,500 square foot lots. That's a large part is going to be market driven. And of course, part of the objective of annexation is to control, if you will, or manage how that is developed or how it grows with city zoning as opposed to county zoning. But another just random thought is that most of our UGA is primarily single family. And, you know, across the board, single family does not pencil out for economic benefit. As you probably know, it's a single family house doesn't pay for itself. But there are other benefits to be derived from that.
I could have sworn that somewhere in this document I read that it had to be adjacent to the city limits.
Contiguous, I think was the word was in there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I read it somewhere within this document. To find it now would be a problem. But, I think I did read it.
I think it's in the policies under annexation.
It could be.
That could be. Chicken then.
I guess offering a counterpoint, I think that any annexation should be contiguous and that it will lend itself to more efficient installation and development of infrastructure than if we're leapfrogging out over incorporated areas.
That'd be like number four, says extended services would not cause an undue burden on the city's financial infrastructure resources. And that's, if it's contiguous, then that would be.
Well, again, I noted that would be developer paid and perhaps with some sort of grandfather. But if you put out there on the street that if you're in the UGA, you have potential for a higher density. And there's a property in between that someone doesn't want to develop, or there's been a vote against it, whatever the case may be, but there's a property available that doesn't have adjacency. I mean, if this is a matter of law, then it's a moot point, but if it's not a matter of law, then we're telling, and this came up over there, off of Roosevelt Road, we're telling people, you can't do what we said you could do. You're going to have to wait until the people that are next to the city limits do their thing before you can do your thing. And I feel that that's inappropriate. And maybe unconstitutional.
Anything else?
Page 4 is going to be.
Page 4?
We will confirm that state law requirements for that.
Thanks. Okay, thank you. Page 5. Commissioner,
first paragraph again, I think it's just, again, out of context in the first line, where it says most of the community's change was a reflection of, I think that that's wordsmithing. It would make more sense. Most of the community's change has been reflective of, just to me, it reads better, makes more sense, rather than just saying was as in the past, talking more over a period of time. The last sentence in that same paragraph, we talk about how the growth of Monroe really isn't all that surprising once you look at it within the context of development patterns and growth within the Puget Sound region, Snohomish County, and the, I would insert, areas surrounding Monroe rather than and the Monroe area. Because it's certainly not surprising in the context of Monroe itself. Mm-hmm. We're trying to attribute to things outside of Monroe. In the next paragraph, I just have it's somewhat of a grammatical thing, but after including the state route 522 widening project, instead of the comma, put the word and, because you just got a double statement there. That's all I have on page 5.
Okay. I remember struggling with that first sentence in the first paragraph. I moved on.
I think
it's a change.
I think what Commissioner Demarest said, it was a good way of stating it.
Has been reflective.
Yeah. Anything else, commissioners? Page 6.
The last paragraph.
Section 11.
The satellite fire station. I think that has been abandoned, hasn't it?
Yeah, I saw that. I wasn't sure what where that was coming from or where the
there was a site somewhere out there. We put it in there for a fire station. It was never got built.
It was, I believe, the most southwesterly lot in the Frylands Industrial Park there on Frylands Boulevard was, at the time of the platting, noted for a future fire station location. I believe that has since been sold off and developed otherwise.
There is a vacant parcel just west of the guys that restore old cars that remains vacant. I thought that was set aside for a fire station. It is directly south of the Monroe School District property that the lawsuit was over. It's right there in the corner.
But I would think a satellite station would want to be on the north side of the tracks.
Yes.
But that piece was set aside and hasn't been touched.
It's worth checking on because I had the same question when you did it.
What if it was set aside under what ownership?
It was set aside at the development stage, the planning stage.
Oh, it was a condition of the
condition
plat.
Of the plat.
Yeah, I see.
We set aside that and the school thing at the same time.
There was talk, I appraised the piece on the west side of Ingraham, south of Brown, that the city owns its old well site. Mm-hmm. I think there was talk at that time, spent some time, that might be a site for a fire station there.
I'm thinking the city's going to put that up for sale.
So we should check and see if there is a site somewhere set aside for it. Set up. I can that still it's going to be there. I did have a comment on the water system plan. Do you ever use that term, WSP, later on, or do you?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right, then that was the only comment.
But just in case, I'll put one here.
Okay.
Although by the time you get to it later, it says WSP, you won't remember what it is.
Yeah, that's the way it goes, you know. All right, anything else, commissioners? Page 6. Page 7. Commissioner Demers?
Middle paragraph talking about gravel extraction. The first sentence, you know, the use of the word closing just doesn't fit well there, I think. And it's talking about the gravel operations going away, basically. I think we need to restate that somehow.
Can you just say it became evident that the city would have to close the gravel extraction plant?
Well, I think the original statement said that acknowledged that the gravel extraction would cease. I just think it needs to be looked at.
How about the city would have to cease gravel extraction?
Well, why don't we just go back to what we had or something close to it then? It's evident that the gravel extraction would cease on the property. What it said.
Can you just say plant we'll ceasing?
Just take a look at it.
We'll figure out something that's a little clearer. It'll help to.
I see what you're trying to do, Paul. You're trying to eliminate, you know, wordiness.
Yeah.
And so let's keep Paul's objective in mind.
Think shorter.
Well, one thing that would be shorter is to take out to the city and just say it became evident that the city.
Yeah.
There's too many.
There'll be lots of those.
Yeah. I agree. Anything else on 7?
In the next paragraph, talking about the North Chelsea Development Plan, you know, we're given a historical perspective here. We talked about the 2001 and then adoption of the plan in 2003. Shouldn't we talk about the modification plan that took place in the last couple of years in this paragraph?
Yes, we should. The 2012 related amendment.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Thank you.
Anything else on page 7? Page 8?
like the end of the first sentence, land demand projection. Do something with that. A little wordy.
I agree.
I struggled with the last paragraph. Snohomish County's proposed plan recommends expanding the Monroe UGA to include 249 acres of the northwest existing, et cetera, et cetera. That's all been done, right?
Yes.
So in that sense, wasn't so the recommended proposed plan recommended expanding. Do we need to say anything about it having been done then? For sure.
Yeah, but I don't think it's incorrect.
Not with the recommended versus recommends.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, in my mind, sort of like North Kelsey, it's not a complete, it's not bringing us current to 2013.
That paragraph needs some more work.
Are you saying you like to say that plan has been completed?
Something to that effect.
Okay.
But I have to let staff work on that.
Okay.
Yeah, bring some closure to that, those actions.
Okay. Anything else? Page 9?
Very top. I think it refers back to the southwest area, I assume. I just drove over there and I assume that's where they're talking about over by the church over there, and that clinic,
the old gravel pit up there.
Yeah, I'm worried about it doesn't work because of the slopes and all, but the general area has suitable topography. Thank you.
Page 10. I have a question. I was a bit confused on the first paragraph, I guess. It talks about the downtown master plan, and then the master plan reflects the community's vision for this area and has developed through the city. Is that master plan the same as the downtown master plan?
Yes, and in fact, I think some of that statement of the vision and public workshops and input should come before it was adopted in the paragraph.
And I think we need to be consistent, Paul, on what the master plan is, because down below, I believe it's on the last paragraph, yes, the last sentence of the last paragraph.
I see it.
Says the master plan, along with this document, which I think is referring to the downtown master plan. So it's kind of redundant that
it is.
The master plan along with this downtown master plan.
Good point.
And then the other thing that I had on here was about Dream. I believe Commissioner Tuttle brought up last week that the acronym Dream is going away.
Well, yes, but at the time that that this is referring to,
it's correct.
Oh, okay. It's later on in the goals and the.
Okay,
I think we did delete Dream specifically from the
policies.
Or the goal.
All right. And then down in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th paragraph, last sentence, to meet increasing demand for public transportation. This area should or I said in my mind, or could we say could also take advantage of the existing airlines for passenger service. Because should is, it's not, it's a soft word, but it's stronger than.
Frankly, I wasn't sure what the intent of that statement was. I'm glad you brought that up. I mean,
I can respond.
We're not going to have, you know, intercity rail service or commuter service through Monroe. We have Amtrak coming through Monroe now.
Mm-hmm. But they don't stop here.
But they don't stop, right.
Right.
But, and taking advantage of existing freight lines for passenger service is no mean feat. Very difficult to do, just generically speaking.
Yeah. Commissioner Demarest?
And yet, Paul, it's been done in our area. Sound Transit is a sound that runs the train up and down the coast.
Right.
They use existing freight lines.
Right.
And back when this was adopted, the intent was to at least open the door for the idea that at some point there may be a commuter line that could run up the valley. You know, and if it could, why not? Let's make sure we at least introduce the idea in the document to that end. That's why it's there.
Okay. Well, in that case, I like the word could rather than should. It sends a different message. But frankly, I don't know that it would ever be feasible to extend commuter service east through the valley since the population is so low. In fact, well, the sounder is on a short fuse now.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the poor attendance. I've used it a few times, especially to go like a Mariners game or something. It's a great way to go downtown.
Whether we think it's viable or not today doesn't mean we should close the door on the potential for tomorrow.
Sure.
We lose nothing by having it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's good or good, I really don't know.
It does get kind of buried in the text, but I don't think it deserves a separate policy to really highlight it. But it's there.
Commissioner Tuttle?
I have an issue with the historic Main Street neighborhood being called the traditional commercial and retail center of Monroe. I don't really think that's true. It might be a goal to have.
Where is this?
On the second paragraph.
Is. I think the problem there is.
Right. So.
Was.
The descriptors are wrong, or the tense is wrong.
Actually, it's kind of
it's
the
wording. Good.
It is the traditional commercial core, the historic.
But it hasn't been core. For a while. There's not really a tradition of that being the retail center in a very long time.
But it is the downtown.
It's the historic Main Street neighborhood is the traditional commercial retail center of Monroe. That's false.
Traditional in terms of,
it's not where people go for their commercial and retail needs.
Yes. Traditional could be taken a couple of different ways.
You could say historically.
That's the point. Historically it was. That's really past tense.
Or the was.
There might be something added here about the North Kelsey commercial area that has. That downtown is not the primary commercial core any longer. It used to be, traditionally was, historically was, but today is not.
Since you're describing the historic Main Street area, I don't think we have to talk about the Kelsey area in there, but.
I would agree, Bridget. It's a good point.
I mean, we could come up with different descriptors or we could just change the tense. I don't really care, but I don't think it's a true statement.
As stands, right?
If we change it to was, it talks about it historically, and then it goes on to talk about what we want to do with it.
Yeah,
preservation, right. Historic character, and infill development. I think it's fine in that regard with that change.
Okay.
Anything else on page 10?
Paragraph 4. Again, we're going to send a message to people doing the 15 plan. 11 residential dwelling units per acre. We talk about the downtown area maybe giving us some help in
bringing population without increasing the size of the UGA, which was kind of the whole point in the balance of this alternative too. And we may adopt something that is similar to that, that we need to up the ante on these densities, because you go to other places where they put housing in their cores, mm-hmm. old cores, mm-hmm. and you know, we're talking 20, 40, 60 units per acre. Mm-hmm.
You know, there are several places in here where, and I want to throw out this number, where, and we did throw out the number up in the paragraph above, but the comp plan, I don't believe, should be talking about up to 11 units per acre. That's a hard and fast number. Mm-hmm. Although I think in the comp plan, one of the land uses is like, you know, up to 11 units per acre. And in the 15 update, I'd like to give some consideration to reducing or changing some of those land uses that are now in the comp plan. There's some, you know, there's, we've talked about it before, but there's some issues of how it translates from the comp plan to the zoning. Right now it's pretty straightforward. But I think would rather here refer to higher density residential without being specific in terms of the actual maximum density of 11.
And that could lead to the consideration of a new zoning that is higher than what we have now for maximum, potentially. Which I believe that would be appropriate.
And the comp plan, if it's stated like Paul just mentioned, take the 11 out of there, that would be open for that to happen in the zoning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Commissioner Demarest?
I think we need to think about this paragraph in the context of which it's structured. It's talking about the northwest and the southwest areas adjacent to the downtown Monroe area. Those are largely residential areas with small houses and small lots. And I think part of the purpose here is to preserve the character of those neighborhoods, recognizing that there has been some redevelopment with offices and such, but there's no major development. And that they're not going into raising blocks of houses to put up 20 units to the acre. We wanted to preserve those historic neighborhood, walking neighborhoods, if you may, that we've had in this town. And so I think we want to be careful to make that too broad and too loose there.
Maybe there's just a better way to say that than to put a hard and fast number in there, because I get what you're saying. I understand the having 11, up to 11 residential dwelling units. Because a lot of this stuff in here, even earlier, talks about like the meandering streets are supposed to contribute to a country feel. We talk about a small town. There's probably a more descriptive way to say what we want to say than to put a numerical value on the description that we're going for, I would think.
And I think... Correct me if I'm wrong, but if you leave it vague there, you know, like Paul was saying, then zoning, you know, will dictate what that is. It's already there.
Yeah, and at the same time, this guides the zoning, what the zoning will dictate.
Yeah,
so
right.
Want to have some cohesive wording in there.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I also agree that putting a number on it is not the right way mm-hmm. to do it.
I'd like to allow higher density residential in the downtown neighborhood where it's appropriate, and the way to do that might be to either drill down in the downtown master plan to a little finer degree of where that might be allowed, or perhaps consider that something in the zoning code like a conditional use on higher density, maybe above a certain threshold in the downtown neighborhood, so that it avoids the situation of having several traditional single family, a large structure, mm-hmm. and continuing single family that would have some degree of predictability about it.
You could say something about it maintaining the historic character of the neighborhood or something
right.
more charming.
Yeah.
while maintaining your historical neighborhoods, something that's what you want, if that's what we want to preserve, that there is still history there and what you build has to reflect that.
And there are design guidelines in the downtown master plan that some of it relates to architectural, but
there's a likely place for the density to end up is in the southeast portion where there's more available land. But normally you do see that, Paul, when downtown areas start taking on density. Mm-hmm. You will have two old houses and then a 40-unit project, and then a couple more houses, and another project.
And what happens to the old houses?
They get sold for land.
Eventually.
Yeah. And I don't know that there's a whole lot of houses in a row, and I assume we have an inventory that you really fall in love with, except along Main Street. Especially within the boundaries of the downtown plan. A lot of those houses could go away and nobody's going to miss them as long as you give them enough dough.
Well, I like that, what Paul said earlier, I like the words where appropriate. Maybe that could be worked into there somehow. If you have continue to provide a mix of uses where appropriate or something.
Who decide what's appropriate?
Through the zoning laws, I think.
We could maybe treat that in the form of kind of policy and the goal and policies about.
Yeah.
Like the action.
Preservation versus redevelopment.
Yeah, okay. Commissioner Demers?
I think it might be helpful for this paragraph if we, at a subsequent meeting, had a copy of the downtown plan in front of us, or at least the map that identifies these areas. Because in looking at both the comprehensive plan and the zoning map, I really can't tell exactly what we're talking about. But I'm thinking, as I'm looking at it, that it's was identified as a transitional zone between the downtown commercial and the more residential zones that are further to the southwest and further northwest. The northwest zone or area is multifamily, 8 to 11 units. To the southwest is the UR 6000. And I do think this, what we're talking about here, is actually the transition zone between that downtown commercial area and those residential zones. So perhaps we need to put that on hold and look at that and understand a little more fully what we're talking about there. I think it's only literally a block long or block wide area that is truly transitioning between those different zones. That would be my request.
If I could proffer an example, the Juanita area of Kirkland. North of 116 on either side of Juanita Way or 99th, wherever it is. 20 years ago, there was a bunch of old houses. There was a dry cleaner here and a guy fixing cars here and a gas station. Now there's 400 multifamily units on the west side of that road. And 20 years ago, even the founding fathers may not have seen that one. But allowance was made and the market stepped in. And I'm not saying that's what downtown Monroe is going to look like, but if we're going to put people there, let's put people there where it's appropriate. I like that language or something like that, as long as it doesn't come back and bite us in the future. But I think mainly in the southeast portion, you're buffered by the park. You've got the railroad on the north, and it's like a totally appropriate place to put people.
That's the Portland Park neighborhood you're speaking of.
Okay.
Allows up to 20 units to the acre.
And that's way too low.
And actually, the Ellen Borland neighborhood, I'm not sure about downtown neighborhood, but Ellen Borland does not allow single-family detached homes. Multifamily or attached single-family, like townhomes, and a number of commercial uses, including mixed use. A little different environment than the Ellen Borland section.
Okay. But back when we did this plan, there was a distinct recognition that the Al Borland neighborhood was different and was very suitable for redevelopment in many ways, different from this downtown neighborhood zone.
Yeah. And I understand you're transitioning, you know, comments on, but where it's appropriate, you know, housing should be denser. Mm-hmm.
So speaking of the Al Borland neighborhood, does anybody else think this area will see the greatest change? It's not a very useful use of words. Can we just say this area is a key element to revitalizing the entire downtown area? How do we know it's going to see the greatest change?
I'd be comfortable with that.
Seems a little fluffy. Borland Park neighborhood.
Third paragraph.
Oh. I don't think it needs to say we'll see the greatest change.
Yes. I want to withdraw that greatest change.
And just go right to is vital or key element.
Key to vitalizing.
I think the point is if you put a couple hundred or 400 or 500 people there, and you don't have to increase the size of the UGA. And it seems to me that reading this is a point they're trying to make. Otherwise, we say, okay, it stays kind of old town, and then we increase our UGA. But these are the kind of decisions we're trying to make, right? What do we want to do?
I should tell you what some of my Fremont Street construction is scheduled to begin in 3-4 weeks, first part of June, and be completed before Thanksgiving. That is already creating some interest on the part of property owners or potential redevelopment of properties along Fremont Street in the Al Borland part of the downtown. So it's already starting to cause some movement.
Good. Is the school district falling out of love with their whole area, with their offices there? Are they considering relocating that? Is that in their plan?
Were they ever in love with that building? It's horrible.
I just discovered that 2 weeks ago. Horrible. This is old.
Go inside it. You know, have an asthma attack.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, I think tomorrow on the council agenda is discussion of a cooperative effort between the city, the school district, Everett Community College. Is that the right pronunciation?
Everett.
Everett College. Community College. Everett College.
ECC.
those three entities to come together on redeveloping this site that would accommodate all those uses. Now, the city has a master plan for this campus. Building, I don't know, 3-4 stories high. But the school district has expressed some interest, and Everett is looking at potentially some major expansion in Monroe. So that, I believe it is tomorrow night, discussion of that, moving forward with that shared resources. Mm. At least it's on the talking level now. So that building, I understand that building is a unsafe, it's unreinforced concrete and not suitable for rehabilitation. My first glance was make great for conversion in condos or apartments, but can't do it.
You know, they said that about the high school years ago, how bad it was, and they put bracing up in the walls, and so they abandoned it, and they got a ball on a crane in. And that ball hit that building and bounced right off it.
You can't hurt me.
I was just going to say, from your earlier question, looking for the, I think it was the downtown area map, and then also that part of the plan, it's on the website. You should be able to open it in your computer so you can look at the map and the other part.
Dave, where did you find that?
Let me back up real quick. If you go to the city website and then you go to planning documents, and then you go down, partway down, and it says downtown areas, downtown sun area plan.
Then the planning and permitting department page, Dave?
I think planning and permitting.
Okay.
Yeah, I looked for it under the maps page of the planning department.
It's not on the maps. If you go planning documents, I don't know why it's not on both, but it's planning documents, and then about halfway down on the page, downtown subarea plan, and then the maps were in there also.
Hey Jeff, is that working?
Yes.
Okay.
Do we have anything else on page 10?
I have one comment.
Commissioner Ryan?
You go to the higher densities that you're talking about. You're going to have to keep the police department and fire department really busy. I found that to be a thing of the past. So don't think about it.
Okay. Dave, thank you for that. I did find that map, and yeah, it is largely a transitional area.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll ask you again. Anything else on page 10? Page 11? I have one comment, if I may, on the future visions and issues paragraph. The first sentence says, the city continues to receive requests for annexation and development permits from landowners in this area.
Not true.
My question was, in this area, what area was my question?
He's talking about North Area,
yeah,
Milwaukee Hill.
But up in the previous paragraphs, it talks about Trombley Hills, Woods Creek, Chain Lake Run. There's all sorts of things that are being talked about. And then in the red line, at the end of that third paragraph, it talks about Eaglemont, Mount Bearmont Estates, Foothills, Rosalie Estates, and then. So I was starting to get confused as to what this in this area meant.
Okay. I think I was all of a sudden talking about areas beyond
right.
The north yeah. Area of no more.
Yeah, Rosalie Estates is not in that area.
Okay. So we'll go back and limit that discussion to that area, and we'll pick up those current subdivisions where they should be placed.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I had on page 11. Commissioner Demarest?
I would just have the same kind of context to begin at the same paragraph. Several developments were built. Several developments have been built. They were built and they're still there. When we have words, it's almost like they were built and they've gone away. Again, just to be consistent with my comments earlier.
Okay. Okay. Anything else on page 11, commissioners? Page 12. Commissioner Demarest?
Future visions and issues, second paragraph, the North Development Plan, North Kelsey Development Plan is being revised. Well, that's all done. We need to bring that current.
Has been.
And then under future visions, where you got the note to update this section, I made a note as I read this. I said, what does this mean? What it was referring to is a section that says, allowing development potential at an urban density consistent with GMA on the site would require construction of access roads across the wetland areas, buildable portions of the site, et cetera, et cetera. What are we trying to say here? We go on and on about this eastern portion of the road. The future vision section here, and all those eight lines or whatever we've got there, all true statements, but what are we really trying to say?
Yeah, this whole section was
Actually, a large part, I think, was rewritten in the 2012 amendment that failed. That East Monroe amendment did include some text provisions of this chapter. And I considered going back and resurrecting at least some of that for this, but at this point I simply highlighted it for future editing. Didn't want to make substantive changes, but some of this language in here is not correct.
Well, I think it's all accurate. In my opinion, it's true from what we've seen historically, but it just doesn't seem to connect with the future vision and issues. What do we see for that area? I guess it's the crux of the question. We're talking about future vision. We took out what it was, 1 unit to the 5 acres. So I think, as you know, we've got to do a lot of work on this particular section.
Right.
Paul, what is the status? Are they definitely coming back? Are they doing the EIS? I remember you said something about that.
They are. I expect we may see an EIS, a full EIS, by the end of this month from the applicant, which would, bring it back for processing, and it would pick up where it left off, basically, back in 2012, last year.
So how soon could we be taking that back up? Does it have to go through the comp plan amendment process?
Or? No, it's a continuation of a former amendment. It's still on the 2011.
It's still a comp plan.
So depending on when this needs to be rewritten, maybe you put it on hold. And I think the definition will become clearer once we look at all that. But if you can't wait, then I guess we have to say, well,
that amendment, I'm thinking, will include some text revisions from the applicant, basically.
Certainly their future vision for the property.
Right. Yeah. So I didn't want to do too much with this at this point, which is another reason why I highlighted it for now.
So if we have an adoption schedule here that talks about this going to public hearing on September 9th, will we have that language by September 9th?
Yeah, it would be part of the at the very least, part of the East Monroe Amendment application, or the part of the East Monroe Amendment.
What comes first, the chicken or the egg? Is this going to come before the East Monroe Amendment, or before an East Monroe Amendment, which is an uncertainty still? It's not a given, I don't think.
The text was changed a fair amount in the amendment last year, but I decided not to necessarily bring all that forward in this work in front of you.
The amendment last year that died.
Right. And I think at this point, my thought is to do some light editing in this so that it just reads better or more better English, but let the amendment speak to the what they see as the future vision and issues that would, from their perspective, support their request to amend that land and the rezoning.
So
does that make sense?
Does this commission then need to agree with whatever they're saying? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, I'm saying that it becomes part of their request. Just like it was last year. The language of changing this text was part of their amendment request.
Will that proposed amendment language from them be in front of us before our public hearing in September?
Yes, because this will have to be considered with all the other amendments, which would include East Monroe. Actually, it's this change, East Monroe. We moved City Gateway Districts as a comp plan amendment, pulled it into the 2015 update. I think the only other one out there was the school mitigation fees. Which was never, there was never any final action taken on that. Although it, you know, it was being acted upon as a separate amendment from the regular docketed items.
So, I'm sorry, Mayor?
Yes, Commissioner.
Paul, not to belabor this, but just to speak hypothetically, if that East Monroe Amendment failed to move forward, would we just end up with a blank here because we didn't look at any other language at that point? Or should we have something else? If they're going to go forward concurrently, and be heard basically at the same time, what happens if the East Monroe Amendment fails to go forward? This won't fail to go forward because it has to go forward in some form.
Right.
Where will that leave us?
Your vision would be grazing cattle.
Well, then perhaps
I think it'd be good to have a backup paragraph that you could use in here.
Okay, and that begs the question, what is the vision for that area?
Whose vision? Whose vision?
Exactly. Because it's, the original vision was open space. And the current vision for at least some people has changed dramatically from that to development. I guess it's up to the maybe up to the commission to see if there's any consensus at some point about what the vision is for this. We can come back and revisit that.
Okay. I like the word potential because it's not giving anything specific, but it has a potential for this or that.
Well, but all it's saying is the potential would create all these problems. That's all that paragraph says.
Yeah.
If it has potential for urban, we'll end up with all these problems. It doesn't talk about a vision. It's flawed.
I don't think the issues need to come up in this area anyway. Like, it sounds very opinionated, actually. It doesn't sound unbiased. It sounds biased.
Although it is future vision and issues. Yeah, it's very heavy on the issues.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because there are issues out there. What I might suggest is that the in our next round on this chapter, I'll take a shot at this, but that the commission maybe agree on some language that describes what the commission sees as the future vision of that area. Is it open space, is it commercial, is something between?
Why can't we just leave what it said before and say that it's going to be that until it changes?
Thank you, Bridget. I think that going back to what the language already said makes complete sense.
Until it changes. I mean, if the property owner can change the designation, then they can do that. And then there will be another future vision. But for right now, there's nothing. It's still is what it was.
And if this process in turn gives us something that we might as a commission feel we could recommend it evolve into, then so be it. But let's not throw out what it was in exchange for, no offense, Paul.
I just don't think we need to update something that's not updatable. That's all. There's no change right now. And is it true that it has a residential density of up to one dwelling per 5 acres?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it true that more than half of the area is classified as wetlands?
No.
Okay. I mean, I would take out any parts that are not true.
Not half, less than half.
Well, I'll say some of the area is wetlands and subject to flood.
It should be called maybe called critical areas, which is a little more inclusive.
And maybe more current. In verbiage. But why don't we just describe it and not try to define it? Because there's really not. I mean, I don't know.
I agree.
I'm just trying to make sense.
I'll make some minor revisions to this, like the half and a few things like that. And
make sure
we'll
it's true.
Let it stand as that, barring any proposed language as a part of these Monroe Amendment coming through.
Okay.
That's a good idea. I'm just leave it. Put it on the red button.
Good job, Richard.
We're gone.
Anything else on page 12? Page 13?
I say I said master plan again, so we'll fix that. Mm-hmm. Start using one of those acronyms. I don't know, page 11. No, it should be on 13.
Yeah. Go backwards. Go forward.
I do have one question on this 12 and 13, talking about the eastern commercial area. Is Turney Place scheduled for construction or not?
It's, I don't think it's scheduled explicitly for construction, but it's moved way up in the... Transportation Improvement Plan. The list.
When the piece from Chain Lake Road to Woods Creek Road is built, mm-hmm. will it just hook into the road that's behind Albertson's? Is that Turney Place?
Oh, that's Oak Street.
Okay, so those two will connect. And then that will complete PUD, all the way from Old Owen all the way over to North Kelsey Street.
I think in PUD closed in the property behind the fitness center. Border and frontage on Tierney.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's the plan, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
But that road behind that Oak, I believe it is privately owned?
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it says it right there.
Is there some language about Tierney in this future vision? Would be appropriate, I think, the Turney extension on page 13, first paragraph.
Okay. Any other? Page 13? Page 14. Commissioner Demarest.
The last paragraph for First Airfield, the 2087, Paul, remind me, is that the current configuration or the proposed expanded configuration?
I want to say it's that's the current, because as I remember, it's expanded to 3,000 feet.
Okay. That's all I care about, is that it
includes
the current.
At present, yeah. Mm-hmm. What's in the future?
Under future vision and issues, the second paragraph, limited improvement district, isn't that local improvement district? And also, when you look at Robin Hood and Roosevelt Ridge, that last sentence, which is at the top of 14, as a result of its development status, it is not an area expected to receive significant new growth. Didn't we just talk about extending sewer into there so that
yes.
that should be reworded? Is an area expected to receive.
Because it can have sewer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I think the intent is to, it was talking originally about Robin Hood Lane, and the Roosevelt Ridge reference was added. Robin Hood Lane is not likely to develop in higher densities because of the sewer. So I think we need to make sure that we are careful as to what we're talking about. The statement is correct with respect to Robin Hood, incorrect with respect to Roosevelt Ridge.
Roosevelt's been added, so it needs to be.
Should we split out Roosevelt Ridge from Robin Hood?
They're certainly two distinct neighborhoods, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I would. Okay. Would you agree with that, Jeff?
They're adjacent.
But
Robin Hood is going to be, at least short term, the primary access.
I think so. You know, it reminds me a little bit of West Main Street, because you just have this corridor, which is Robin Hood. And then this giant elephant littering next door to it, which is Roosevelt Ridge. So separating them certainly makes sense.
Well, isn't the Robin Hood area pretty well built out?
It is.
It's just a few lots that are in there.
Just scattered within one or two lot depths away is Roosevelt Ridge.
Well, even more than one or two, perhaps, listening.
Depending where you're coming down. I'm not so sure it would serve to split those.
Well, the future
if we qualify that the Robin Lane area is you know, in so many words, pretty much built out, but the Roosevelt Ridge area will likely see true development.
But whether we look at it as existing or future, they're both distinctly different today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you kept them together, you could just change that sentence at the top of 14 that says, as a result of the development status of these areas, Robin Hood is not expected to see much change, but Roosevelt Ridge is. They could just keep them together. And I think that would be a pretty fair statement.
I agree. I don't think you could expand it and expand it and expand it and make it even more wordy. But I think anywhere we can keep it brief and still get the point across, I think that's probably the way to go.
Okay. I'll include a few words to the effect that these are adjacent but different areas.
Anything else on 14? 15?
Does the Monroe Correctional Complex have its own sewer system? It says here it's served by our sewer, but they have a sewer system out there, don't they?
They have a lagoon out there, but I'm trying to remember if that's being shut down.
So do we provide sewer to them, you know?
That's part of it.
Okay, so part of it is, and part uses that old system?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we do provide water and sewer.
I'll check on that and make sure that's accurate.
Do we have any kind of a document from the Department of Corrections which clearly sets forth their plan for their property? It's updated at all, because
I've not seen one.
It might be good if we're going to say that they plan to continue expanding, that we know that for sure. Because I thought I heard that they were, you know, not necessarily going to be doing that. But if they have a plan, we can maybe use the results of their plan to improve this language.
Like boost the population.
I had a question mark on the future visions part there.
Right.
Where it says they're expected to continue expanding, but then the following sentence says no significant changes are expected.
Significant changes. Have they expanded in the last, since 2005?
Yeah, they added those pods up there, I think, so.
Yeah, the pods, right.
I think Commissioner Christensen is correct that otherwise should probably be kept in there. Unless we don't come back.
Otherwise, it's a qualifier.
Yeah. Okay. That would make it more reasonable. Anything else on page 15? Page 16. Commissioners?
I'll get back up a second. The Chester Road area, I'm not sure how far south this is talking about in terms of the area. But you know, the city is pursuing the possibility of trying to explore expanding that southwest UGA to south and west of the high school. It would include that Chester Road area, you know, immediately south of the high school. So that future vision issues may, if anything happens with this in the short term, meaning this year, then that would affect what that future vision talks about. So it may not go anywhere in terms of this UGA.
It can't, well, so the UGA could change. Can the county council act that quickly to where they could change that this year?
Doubtful, but say it's going to try. It's a complicated situation.
It's complicated.
Yeah. What's the status of this joint planning thing over there? Is it active at all, the joint planning with the county on that area in the area across 522? Because it says in here that the city and the county were trying to figure out together what to do with those areas on either side of 522.
One side of 522, I think. The southwest side, isn't it?
Well, I think there's talking about those two. I think it's not included in that.
I'm not familiar with that.
Have you had meetings with the county over this area anytime?
Not over that. Not in my tenure, no.
And you've been here a couple of years?
2 years.
2 years. Yeah. So it's probably pretty
thin. Now, there may have been something prior to that where there was some joint planning going on or some joint discussion.
Because the southwest planning area is shown on the zoning map. It is all west of 522.
Right, and that dates way back, you know, and I don't think anything was ever started.
It goes back to 08, so that's 5 years earlier.
So, Paul, is there an issue here? Or do we just not know? Do we leave it alone?
Well, we'll know sooner rather than later.
So we leave it alone at this point.
The cycle has did close back this fall, but the city's looking at trying to still catch into that cycle for UGA expansion, potential UGA expansion. At this point, it's more political than anything.
I would say just leave it like it is for now, but put your YOLO clock on that, highlight that as a...
That may
change, yeah.
Subject to movement on the county's part.
So we don't lose sight of that.
That's a long dead-end street, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Access is an issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Back on page 16. Thank you, Paul. Commissioner Demarest?
The future vision and issues under 161st Avenue Southeast. In the middle of that first paragraph under update to section, this is the season, we jump right into talking about West Main Street from east of 522 to 161st. So something's backwards here. Either we're talking about from 522 east or we're talking from 161st East to 522, or we're talking about from 522 West to 161st. And I think it's the latter. Commercial development plan along West Main Street from 522 West, as I said originally, to 161st Avenue Southeast.
Okay, you know what? I was confusing streets when I switched east.
If we go east from 522, east. We come into town.
Yeah, that's right.
And we get out of the area.
The heading says Old Owens Road. We probably should say Old Owen on the heading.
What should it say?
This.
Oh.
What was that, Commissioner Tall?
It says Old Owens Road, and the road is called Old Owen.
Okay, yeah.
And it won't get caught in a
spell check
because it's a heading.
It wasn't done in 2005 in here.
Commissioner Demarest?
In that section that Bridget was just talking about, I'm trying to figure out where the multifamily housing is in that valley that's unincorporated. Look at that first part of that paragraph. Under existing conditions and issues, this unincorporated area lies between ridges to the north and south.
This is an apartment building up there.
In the
south of the church.
Hanson's old building?
This is the apartment there.
Well, the Calhoun and Old Owen?
On 161st.
No, we're down the next section here. Wood Street Road, Old Owen Road area.
Well, then there's an apartment building that Hanson did all
that. That must be the Hanson building then.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's still not in the city then, right? And it's not in the UGA.
It's on the other side of the road.
It's in the UGA. Because the unincorporated portion is to the valley side.
Is this parcel right here?
Well, the little funny piece there.
It's the county.
Okay. But that's in the UGA, isn't it?
No.
Yeah. It's in the city limits.
All right. Just a question, Paul. I'm not sure where you were. That very first sentence talks about ends with multifamily housing. The unincorporated area, and it may well be referring to the old Hanson apartment building, but I thought that was in the UGA. But it may be that little jog that takes it out of it.
Can we check on that, Paul?
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with that little area down there.
Something I don't think we have to make for sure tonight. But
yeah.
Let's sure. Let's get that.
If you wanted to show them, I had
so that rooms down here. This one was open to my own city.
There's no use to look at it now. It's all this room.
They did just have a room. We had to tape it. It's still taking it since the UG from our applicants and their students.
Commissioner?
Check for it.
Thank you.
Paul's going to check into it in the appropriate entries. Anything else on page 16? Page 17?
Yeah, I was wondering globally when we start into the inventory analysis section here, if Paul, you were going to do, when you had a chance, you know, clean this up. Would it be possible from a timing standpoint to have all the new numbers and tables in here rather than us go through all that tonight?
Right, yeah. Well, by the next meeting, we'll have all those tables and data updated in this.
So the bill of plans report.
So ignore the tables for now.
Commissioner Demarest?
This has been kind of a little gripe in my years with regard to the population figures. We look at the bottom of page 17, it tells us that between 2000 and 2012, we had an increase. Since 1990, we've had an increase of 9.6% a year in population. But then the last sentence is constricted, says, but if we take out the reformatory population, it's a 6% a year over 10 years. About a 30% difference. To me, that's a pretty significant issue. I mean, you look at 9.6% a year for population growth for the city and think, wow, this city is really growing. But then you reduce it by 30% because one-third of those people came courtesy of the state. It's really not painting an accurate picture of what's happening with this, with Monroe as a community. And I don't think, I mean, if we want to do it that way, great, but I think we need to keep the clarifier in there that says, hey, folks, let's be real here. It's really not 9.6%. The city's growth of people who choose to be here is only 6%. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
It seems to be significant.
So why is prison population included?
Because we give dollars, don't we?
They're part of the Monroe population, like students. I don't know how it works here, but in other states, students are counted where they at their school, where they spend 9 months.
Students,
at least a couple places.
So we count them as students,
as residents.
College students are residents. Prisoners are
controversy. Prisoners.
They don't vote though.
I don't think we want to lose sight of that distinction. And I think taking that out is unfair. I would be inclined to almost turn it around and say, realistically, our population is growing at a rate of 6% a year, but for various purposes, it's calculated this way.
And some of the numbers and the dates in that paragraph need to be changed to reflect the more recent trends. I don't think you go back to 1990 in narrative form, at least. Maybe in the table as well, but not so much in the paragraph.
Can we pull the comments on this section, Jerry, until the tables are updated?
Page 18, the text below the table obviously is dependent on the numbers of the table.
Right. So, for purposes of tonight's meeting, I guess we're going to hold off on the inventory analysis section until we get the updated tables. Is that what I heard, Paul?
Yeah, I think specifically in relation to tables. Yeah, and also on page 20, I made a note under the critical errors header in general that we need to start pulling information from the natural environment element into the language. That has not been done at all.
Okay.
I do. And council concurred with that direction last week after the council meeting to incorporate that element in the rest of the book, the rest of the comment. Basically, they upheld the commission's recommendation.
Where does that take us to then if we. What do we pick up next? If we're talking about all these tables,
there's some some generic language like on page 22 that is just okay.
I think it takes us to 29.
I think it would be best to wait until we have all the right information so that it makes more sense. But it's going to take some more editing as that information gets put in here. It's going to affect the narrative.
I do have one thing that I want to make sure I bring up that I had to find it, and I finally did. On page 26, last paragraph, where it talks about the table, LUA shows potential growth of 4.050 jobs. Is that correct? 4.050? Because that's not a lot of jobs. And 0.050 is...
probably a comma.
I'm just trying to make...
I bet that's a comma.
It's a point.
It's got to be a comma. I tripped over that.
Not much of a change in labor force in 30 years. But we're doing fine in spite of that.
Okay, Paul, so where do you suggest we pick up?
I guess we're up to page 29.
29? Commissioner Demarest.
I'd like to talk about page 20.
Okay.
There's a lot of new text proposed here, and I think it's sending the wrong, or at least an inaccurate message when it's talking about our density. The average density, for instance, in the first paragraph it says, is currently less than 4 dwelling units per acre. But then we go on to say that there are approximately 393 acres of commercial land within the city, 333 acres of industrial land, 419 acres of park and open space land, 155 acres of city land. Where are we on density if we take a look at it more on a net basis? We don't talk about that at all, and I think it's important. You know, the 419 acres of parks, we talk about Lake Tyne, Al Borland, and Skycomish River Park, and the text here, which has been carried over from past years, says along the floodplain. It would be more accurate to say within the floodplain, because those parks are all floodplain parks. Mm-hmm. How can we realistically and fairly count those toward our density calculation?
Commissioner Rodland?
There is a park out in Rutland that is not being used, and it's very large. And nobody's ever done any development with that at all. And that would be a good one to, if somebody to use that for housing, it would be a, was that on 154th?
Friends?
For Friends?
I have no idea what you're talking about, man.
You mean Curry View?
I thought it was 154th.
The Curry View Park?
Yeah, that's it.
That's an active.
That's an active park.
It is active?
Yeah, we have soccer practice there all the time.
Well, yeah. Well,
that was it. So, Paul, I guess I'd be interested in knowing, Commissioner Trimble's chairman, whether anyone else has those thoughts or feelings. I just don't think it paints a very realistic portrayal of the city.
Well, is this up-to-date information?
This is current. This is current information.
Okay.
The existing plan.
Oh, it is existing. Okay.
This is information to be updated. Has not been edited at all. And in reading this, I would assume that this means that the residential areas combines single family, multifamily, and so forth, is a 4 dwelling units per acre. And that is, in a sense, the net density on the city scale. And I'm assuming that that does not include. It's not dividing residents, dwelling units by non-residential land. You know what I mean?
I might want to double check that. How many acres is the city?
3,700.
It's on the first or second page.
How many homes do we have? Residential units? You probably have a table here that tells us what it was, doesn't it?
Well, we had about 1,267 acres of single family and 160 acres of multifamily. But I'm not sure we have a... I don't know that we have a number of parcels. It's probably in the housing element, but not in the land use.
Paul, if no one objects, I'd appreciate it if you could take a moment and look at that and see if, in fact, that figure is based on gross or net. We're calculated on just the residential designated lands in the city. If it's calculated on the entire 3,798 acres of the city of Monroe, then I think it just creates a very misleading...
It's not, because we have about 6,000 units and we have about 1,400 acres. So it is talking just about residential zone.
Roughly, that's probably about right. If you use just a round, very round number of 3 per household, and a very round, maybe fat number of 18,000, that's 6,000.
And it says here approximately 33% of the land within the city is devoted to residential use. That'd be about 1,200 acres.
It's about 40, maybe a little less than 40 in the spring.
Well,
so the number's okay to me, I'm pretty sure.
I think it is based on residential only. It would be gross residential acreage.
Without any allowance for sensitive areas.
Open space, right away, that sort of thing. That would be a much more fine number to come up with, but gross residential density, I think it is a reliable number, if in fact that's what that is. That statement, if it stays, it's probably valid, it needs to be qualified.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Anything else, Commissioner Demers?
Not on that page.
Okay.
You wanted to go to the coming night?
Yeah, can we get the table updated and get that, all the data back? We can go through that section between, let me make sure we get the page right.
I'm also planning to bring the housing element to the next meeting in the later part of January. So
okay.
That'll help shed some light on this section as well.
So between page 17 and page 28, we'll review next time we meet. Commissioner Sherwood.
We're fast approaching 9 o'clock. We're all burned out on this, and I'm thinking that going beyond page 29 might not be the best idea for tonight. I'm just going to get a meeting with everybody else tonight. We should just call it.
Is this part of what we went through last week?
Yes. I did make a few changes based on the discussion we had. I don't know if I caught everything, but...
rather than hurry through it.
I made some pretty good notes as we were going through. I think I caught the change we were talking about.
I went through this section, and the only thing that I found was some typos, but other than that, it looked to me like most of it was what we discussed already. Anybody else? Bruce, perhaps?
Page 33.
Okay, so are we going through this? If we are, then we're going to have to extend the meeting because we're going to go over time. So
I'm open to polling commissioners to see if if we want to continue tonight or
do it 5 minutes.
Still have 5 minutes.
Yeah. Either way works for me. I'd be happy to go home, but if it's more
okay,
beneficial, I'd then.
Whatever.
Commissioner Dirksen?
I could use a bed about now.
Okay. Alright.
It'll be fine.
Commissioner Demers?
Yeah, we've had some short nights. Those are nice. I don't think being here till 10 o'clock is unreasonable.
Okay. And let's go 5 minutes and... Commissioner Demers, you said you had
That should come on.
Well, based on what I'm hearing, I'm thinking we should probably hold off.
I changed my mind on that page. I do have other comments that are marked on there. If I'm the only one who wants to delve into it, then...
Well, from my hearing, everybody, not everybody, but for the most part, says that they're open to continue this to the next meeting. I don't see any problem with that.
Let staff go on.
Don't object if I can take your comments and incorporate them and highlight
them. Comments on the front page 29 on. Can you pass those on to me?
I can talk to Paul.
Okay. That's good. I can get you into the page.
Okay. So let's move on then to discussion by commissioners and staff.
Next meeting is not until June 24th, I believe, the second normal meeting date in June. I'm on vacation for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing's going to stop it at this point. I'm moving 3 times. Let's say the council tomorrow, I think, is discussing this cooperation between school, Everett, and the city for facilities. What else? Walmart. We got word this morning that a decision has been made and that the court upheld for the city the ruling. So at this point, they also did remand the issues of lighting and benches back to council. I'm not clear on.
And they included court fees too, or something.
Yes, the city collects all legal fees incurred, and actually Walmart also incurs legal fees incurred. And at this point, I think their next step would be to appeal to the state Supreme Court. But one disincentive of that is that the appellant would have to pay legal costs on an ongoing basis through that appeal process.
It's costly.
So it may end at this point.
You don't know at this time?
I want to say there's 30 days for the appellant to file an appeal to the next level. And if that doesn't happen, then I guess I think the decision stands. I'm not sure about the 30 days, but I think that's what it is. So the decision came down fairly quickly. The hearing was just 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. But we kind of thought that from what we were hearing that, you know.
Yeah, we talked about benches and lighting, which didn't seem to have much relevance to the purpose of the appeal.
Anything else, Paul?
Mayor Zimmerman sent a note this morning, or last night, late yesterday, that he decided not to run for re-election.
Fell in the paper.
It's out on Facebook. 2 days ago.
I didn't see it anywhere. Didn't hear it anywhere.
You heard it here first.
Okay, good. All right.
I think that's about it.
That's about it. Commissioner Tuttle.
No, sir.
Mr. Ryland.
The Tonkin building where the new people are coming in.
Yes.
How's that coming along? Are they about ready to start?
They were originally going to occupy May 1st, but they've been just scrambling, doing all sorts of incredible amount of construction. So I think now they're July 1st to occupy, or to relocate from Everett.
Are they going to be hiring locals, or are they going to be hiring, being bringing their own?
Both. I'm not sure. I think they're going to be bringing people over from Everett.
Okay.
I think there's 85, something like that. And as they expand, I'm sure it's going to be a combination of specialized help from, you know, from the market as well as the local positions. I think it's projected to be at least 350 employees.
That's great.
In the next few years.
Awesome.
Good. We're spending a lot of time and a lot of money on rehabbing that building.
I see that.
They're really doing it in first class.
Is that the buildings going higher? Or,
oh, you can see a lot of it. I mean, the roof is bursting with mechanical equipment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Commissioner Dirksen?
Nothing.
Commissioner Schubert?
No.
Commissioner Demarest?
Did you say that with hesitation?
No hesitation.
Any news on our vacancy, Paul?
Yes, there's an interview with Ken Berger.
Berger.
No, Ken. This week. And we had an interview. Did I tell you we had an interview with Steve Jensen?
Yes,
last week. Or the week before, right.
And so, thank you. What's happening with the wakeboard park? It was supposed to be open by 4th of July, wasn't it?
No.
Wasn't supposed to be or won't be?
Well, it won't be. They're expecting the final hurdle from the Corps to be cleared maybe late this month. And what they're looking at now is what they're probably going to have a very short season where they'll test and operate and maybe do some training, but they won't have a full season until next year. They may have a partial season this year for the public.
They're calling it a soft.
Pretty limited. Yeah, very, very soft opening this year.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Also move.
I'll second that.
Motion made by Commissioner Dirksen, seconded by Commissioner Sherwin. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nobody's opposed.
Nobody opposed. Thank you, Dave.
So we saw this.